This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this weekend against the division rival Minnesota Vikings. Those pukes in purple. To help preview that game, we have a guest joining us this morning. I met him at Throwback Weekend last weekend, Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundoff.com. Jeremy, how you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. It was a pleasure to meet your acquaintance last weekend. But let's preview this game here. All the attention this week has been about Packers tight end Jermichael Finley, his injury. How long is he going to be gone? Is he going to go on injured reserve? Is he even going to play again? But you know, for the time being, what is this Packers offense going to look like without Jermichael Finley, perhaps without James Jones even? Is this going to be the Eddie Lacy show on Sunday?
I think it has to be. The thing is, the Packers offense has been decent, and without James Jones last week, they looked good. Obviously, Jermichael Finley had some really nice plays last week. The loss of Jermichael Finley is interesting to me. I don't really know exactly how it's going to perform. I think it'll be okay this next stretch of games up until Thanksgiving. They're playing some pretty weak teams, and I think they'll be fine. They can lean on the running game. But they're currently sixth in rushing, and I don't see any reason why they couldn't lean on Lacy.
Yeah, I think so, at least for the time being, until things get a little bit healthier in the Packers offensive stable here. But you know, who's going to step up in Finley's absence? Are we going to see Andrew Corliss more involved in the passing game at tight end? Will Brandon Bostic finally be utilized? You know, what's going to happen at the tight end position?
I feel like we've seen from Corliss what we're going to get. Mm-hmm. You know, it hasn't been very pretty this year. I don't think that Packer fans can really expect him to be the guy to step up. Me personally, I'm thinking it has to be Brandon Bostic. I feel like Corliss's role will probably stay about the same, and Brandon Bostic will have a chance to step up in that spot. I feel like if Corliss and Bostic can't get it done, the Packers are going to have to look for somebody somewhere later in the season. You know, maybe Tony Scheffler's a guy they could bring in. His productivity has dropped, but he could be a nice option for later in the season.
Well, hopefully it won't come to that, and Packers will get it done with guys who are already there. But turning our attention to the Vikings here a little bit, what are we to make of Greg Jennings? Is he a guy that needs to be game planned around? It should, you know, Greg Jennings be worried of some big hits from the Packers defense, maybe?
You can't really game plan around a guy whose quarterback is a joke. The Minnesota Vikings don't
Fair
really
enough.
Have a quarterback. So with Sam Shields playing the way he is, I just feel like Greg Jennings is going to be non-existent this week. I looked up a couple stats, and it's funny to me. Jennings is ranked 57th in the league right now, according to ESPN. They have Nelson at 15, Cobb at 47, and Jones at 50. Now, having Aaron Rodgers is fantastic, and that helps those guys out. But that just shows you where Jennings is at. Jones had a horrible start to the season that first week. We didn't see him. He had a slow start, and Jennings is still ranked below him.
Yeah, I mean, to hear that the rankings in terms of receptions, I mean, I think that says it all in terms of the productivity of the Packers offense compared to that of the Vikings offense. But you know, one guy the Packers do have to game plan around for sure is Adrian Peterson. Now, are the Packers will they be able to handle him like they have most running games this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The problem for Adrian Peterson. Again, it all falls back on the quarterback. When a defense can line up opposite you and not have to be concerned about the passing game at all, they're just going to stack the box all game long. And that's what happened against the Giants. They didn't have to worry about the passing game, and they just played against Peterson. It was basically Peterson against the Giants. It's going to be Peterson against the Packers. And as long as that's the case, it's going to be very difficult for him to do what he has done in the past. Their offensive line has not been that great, and I just would expect that the Packers would be able to keep him under 100 yards this week. I expect them to keep him under 100 for sure.
Yeah, the way the Packers' defensive line is playing, boy, you've got B.J. Raji, you got Ryan Pickett, you got Johnny Jolly. When those three guys are in the game, it's awful tough to run against the Packers' defense. One piece of information that kind of flew under the radar yesterday, it looks like Marshall Newhouse and Derek Sherrod were kind of getting some reps at right tackle in a drill on Thursday at practice. This coming just from a single solitary tweet from Pat Mayo of the ABC affiliate in Green Bay. I don't know how much stock to put into this, just kind of one drill in practice. But what do you think about Don Barclay's job security? He's obviously had a couple rough games in a row here now.
I wouldn't think that they would really be looking at replacing him soon. I think what they're looking at is the possibility, if he continues to struggle, what they have. I mean, they know what they have in Marshall Newhouse. Derek Sherrod is the wild card, and it would be very interesting to see him compete. Last year, the Packers gave up 51 sacks, and Marshall Newhouse, he only allowed 8. So, I mean, that's not bad, but running behind Marshall Newhouse last year, they only averaged 2.9 yards. Obviously, this year, the Packers are having most of their rushing success on the left side. But I don't think Barclay will be replaced this week. And I think if he is replaced, it's probably going to be more likely Sherrod later in the season.
Perhaps. Something to keep an eye on. I do agree with you. I don't think we're seeing a change in the immediate future, although I've been wrong before. Other news in the Packers world lately, coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue this week, reports say safety Sean Richardson, who's on the PUP list, has been cleared to return to football. When are we going to see Richardson, and what do you think the Packers are waiting for, Jeremy?
I don't know. I don't get it. I think that the way they're handling it is very strange. If he's cleared to practice, why isn't he practicing? If he's cleared to play football, why isn't he playing? You know, did the team, like, lose his equipment or something? I don't understand. If the doctor says he can be on the field, I don't see a reason not to put him on the field, and especially with such a questionable position at safety, where Jerron McMillan obviously has not become what we want him to yet. And MD Jennings is still not the guy you want to put on the field at all times. And then Chris Banjo is another guy. He's a wild card. We don't really know for sure what we have there. As fans, we're seeing solid play, physical play from Chris Banjo, but for me, I'd like to see more consistency. I would like to see it happen game in and game out. When teams start to understand who he is, what's that going to look like? I would like to see Sean Richardson be able to compete for that spot, but it's just for some reason they're not letting him.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is the Packers do have time on their side in terms of these whole rules regarding the PUP list and, you know, this 5-week window that, you know, is opened, and then they get 3 weeks of practice, and it's, you know, it's very complicated. But I guess we'll see in the upcoming weeks here what they have in store for Sean Richardson. I guess I wouldn't doubt it if he did start practicing next week, as apparently this news just came out. But we're talking to Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundOff.com here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV this morning. Jeremy, do you have like an official prediction for the game? How's this game going to play out? What's going to happen?
Yes. On our podcast, I predicted that it would be 38-16 Packers. However, after watching them play the Giants, I feel like I have to change it. The Vikings defense is 27th in the league. The Packers is ranked second. if Josh Freeman starts this football game, it could be a mess. So I'm going to keep the Packers at 38, but I'm only going to put the Vikings at 6. I don't feel like they have the firepower to put it in the end zone. I think the only chance of that happening is, you know, if AP just gets one of his long ones and like a 70-yard touchdown. But other than that, I just don't see it.
Yeah, well, this is a game where the Packers are coming in with momentum and the Vikings are not. Vikings typically tough in the Metrodome in this series, but I don't know if they'll be able to hang this year. Jeremy, tell us about Titletown Sound Off, kind of a new addition to the Packers blogosphere. How are things going? I know it's new. Do you need help there at the website in terms of looking for writers, things like that?
Well, we got a couple things going on. We're trying to also launch a Badger site. We feel like there aren't a ton of solid Badger blogs. We have one writer right now. He's in a band called Peace Mercutio, and they're on tour. So he's not writing, which is unfortunate. Because he loves the Badgers, he loves writing, but we are looking for Badger writers, and also we're looking for someone who would be able to cover the draft in the off season. That's something that I feel is going to be important going forward. The website's been pretty awesome. We have our podcast. We have it's three of us: me, Josh, and Bobo. Bobo's a goofball; he makes everything awkward. Josh is very knowledgeable, and we've been having a lot of fun. But we do want to add to the team. If anybody's interested in possibly writing, you can email me. My email is Leviticus268@gmail. Go ahead and send me an email. And then, if you have anything that you want to possibly post right away, send it to me. I'll look at it. If it works, we'll make it work. If it doesn't, we'll adjust and do what we can to get it up on the site.
Well, I'm glad things are working out there in the early going for TitletownSoundoff.com. Jeremy, thank you for joining me this morning. Glad to have you on the show. Nice to meet your acquaintance last weekend. And we'll do it again sometime.
Yep, thanks a lot, Brian.
All right, take care. Jeremy Vanderlinden of Titletown Soundoff. Glad to have him on the show. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well. We're looking forward to a Vikings game here this weekend. And by the way, Jeremy, for those of you who have been, following Railbird Central, Jeremy has been, a commenter on our live blog for months, for years on this show. So glad to have him kind of join the Packers blogosphere here with their own entry over at Titletown Sound Off and become involved. So great to have that going on. But yeah, kind of looking forward to this game here this weekend. So the Packers this week, getting healthier, kind of. the players, are dealing with injuries at, two key players at key positions. I suppose that's the most discouraging thing, is that some of the best players on the team are injured. You've got, Clay Matthews is out this week. Fellow first-round draft choice Nick Perry is, it looks like he'll be out. He hasn't been ruled out yet, but he may before the end of the day is over here on a Friday. The receiving corps, Randall Cobb, obviously out. JerMichael Finley out. James Jones looking like he may not play as well. So you've got all these big name players here sitting out for the Packers. So nothing new. It's kind of been that way almost all season long for this Packers team that's been kind of dealing with injuries. But at least they're kind of getting healthier at a couple other places on the team. Last week they couldn't even field the full 46-man roster when Jarrett Bush was active, but he didn't play even. They were kind of worried there, it appeared at like. And but anyway, Jarrett Bush has practiced this week full. Brad Jones has practiced this week. The linebacker has been dealing with a hamstring injury. Running back James Starks is back this week practicing. So You know, there are some encouraging signs here, at least, that they can actually put together a full 46-man roster on game day this week, so it won't be quite as bad as last week. Although, again, here, you know, losing these guys at these key players, you know, the Clay Matthews and Randall Cobbs of the world, you know, when you're without their services, certainly not a good thing. If there's a silver lining, however, it's that the Packers can probably get by this week against a Vikings team that just has not been very good. They kind of showed some signs early in the season of being at least having a pretty potent offense. You know, obviously with Adrian Peterson, nobody's doubting that he's, you know, a very great football player. But then early on, they kind of had these the passing game working the first few games of the season with Jerome Simpson and Greg Jennings and Kyle Rudolph, and it looked like they may be able to get things going there in Minnesota, but without a good quarterback, without a decent offensive line this year, and then the defense, you know, in Minnesota just giving up tons of points, things have regressed. They've regressed quite a bit. And, you know, the Packers should be able to take care of business despite a series that has a long history to it. Usually the Vikings have played the Packers tough in the Metrodome. Been some very memorable matchups there over the years. But, I don't think it's going to be all that close this week. I don't know. Close is a relative term. You know, what is the spread? It's hovering right around 10 points. I can see the Vikings, you know, kind of making it a game in terms of possibly covering the spread, you know, late into the game. But I'm not sure that's going to happen. I see somewhere in the realm, maybe 35-21, I think is my official prediction here for the Packers. 35-21, they win by two touchdowns. They win by 14 points. The Packers cover the spread. But I can see the Vikings, you know, staying in it for a while. It's going to be so important for the Vikings to stay in the game early, because if the Packers pull away, that's going to be the death knell for the Vikings. They have to stay in it early. They don't want to get into that early hole where they just got to dig themselves out of and then just pass, because they're not built to pass. I thought it was rather interesting when I got, you know, weekly gaming information from Bovada, Bovada LV, their over-under, you know, prop bets this week. Their over-under for the number of carries for Adrian Peterson, I thought was an interesting bet. Just his number of carries, not the number of yards he gets or the touchdowns he gets or whatever. Just the number of carries, 20 and a half. Is Adrian Peterson going to go over 20 and a half carries or under 20 and a half carries? Just an very interesting prop bet this week. Adrian Peterson, obviously the best thing the Vikings offense has going for themselves. If they're going to be in this game at all, they need to feed Adrian Peterson the rock. But they need to be in the game early in order to do that. If they get down 21-0, it's the end of the first quarter, and the Packers are just hot coming out of the gate. Now, I don't know if they can put up 21 points by the end of the first quarter. That might be pushing it a little bit. But anyway, if the Vikings get down early, then they got to play catch up. And I just don't think they're equipped for that. You know, Christian Ponder will end up making a mistake somewhere along the line. I don't know if the receiving trio there of Jerome Simpson and Greg Jennings and Kyle Rudolph is up to the task of getting in a shootout with the Packers. Yeah, they can probably make a play here and there and be complimented by Adrian Peterson. But it's going to be so important for the Vikings to get a few stops early in the game. force a couple Packers punts early. It, you know, because if they can just, you know, hang around until halftime, you know, if they're in the game at half, if it's a one score game at halftime, then all of a sudden it becomes a little bit dangerous, because then it is the Adrian Peterson show the second half. You know, then he can actually, you know, run the ball and try to run out the clock a little bit. The Vikings can try to do that. I don't know if they'll be ultimately successful, but they're going to want to hang around early. So that's the thing that scares me. The Packers offense really needs to, you know, try to get some early success on this team. I mean, because it is, if the Packers are up at least 14-0 by the end of the first quarter, it's over. You know, it could be a situation where it was last week against the Cleveland Browns, where the Packers get an early lead, and you know, they never really put the game away until late. They it kind of almost stayed. You know, it seemed like a 14-point lead the entire game last week against the Browns. Just kind of, the Browns kind of stayed in it, and it was kind of back and forth, then score for score. And it'll finally, in the fourth quarter, the Packers put it away a little bit. Could be the same kind of case this week. But anyway, I think the Packers win. Like I said, 35-21. They win by a two-score margin. I do give the Vikings a little bit of the benefit of the doubt at home. Last game in the Metrodome, right? Last game, last season there. So what's the case there? You know, the Vikings' new stadium is on the way. It's going to be built. But for the next few seasons, they're going to be at the University of Minnesota Stadium. So this is the last time in the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. Last opportunity for the Packers to make some memories there. And that is something to look forward to, I think, for as much of a dump as that place is. And it is a dump. I've been to multiple games there, actually, and it's just nothing special. I mean, it's very, you know, it can get loud in there. But, I mean, it just, you know, is kind of, I don't know, it just doesn't have that atmosphere that's really conducive to good football. It just isn't, and it's time for the Vikings to move on. And the Packers going on the road here. They're starting a string here of consecutive division games. Packers 4-2. They kind of had some struggles early in the year with two early losses in the first 3 weeks of the season. Been kind of gaining momentum, and now they got two division games. They got the Vikings this week, and then they got the Chicago Bears next week. So next week, Monday Night Football, they got back-to-back nationally televised games, by the way, as well. So, you know, Sunday Night Football this week, and then Monday Night Football the following. And, you know, this is the time for the Packers to set themselves apart from the rest of the division. They've already got a win over the Detroit Lions, and by the time next weekend is over, they could have beaten every team in the division once. And if the Packers don't do that, I would actually be disappointed. I think it's something that they're very capable of doing. You know, beating the Vikings this week, even on the road, I think they're very capable of winning this game. Then going and beating the Bears the following week. These are things that should happen, especially, you know, if Jay Cutler is gone for the Bears. I think they're really going to struggle without kind of a decent quarterback there in Chicago, albeit, defense has, you know, been okay for the Bears, good special teams there. But, you know, Packers on Monday Night Football, for them to be possibly, you know, by the end of next weekend, looking at perhaps a 6-2 record, all of a sudden they're sitting pretty sitting pretty. you know, going into the latter half of their schedule this season, things are looking up, and all of a sudden the Packers could be building momentum and looking, all of a sudden, you know, you get through about halfway through the schedule, when you're through like week eight, now you're setting yourself up for the playoffs, and you're setting yourself up for potential buys, potential home games in the playoffs. So all these things, you know, kind of build up here in terms of the resume the Packers are building, and that's what you have to look forward to, even though the Packers kind of playing against a subpar opponent this week. But it, you know, I think there's enough storylines going on that keep this game interesting in terms of, you know, Greg Jennings with the Vikings. And but boy, that was a story on Wednesday. Greg Jennings meeting with the media and basically just saying he was kidding the whole time with Aaron Rodgers. We're not buying it, Greg. You weren't kidding. You weren't kidding. It kind of maybe you can fall back on that, but we know better. We know better. You're a jerk. Anyhow, it's Packers Vikings this weekend. The one thing that scares me for the Packers is the offense without JerMichael Finley, without Randall Cobb, perhaps without James Jones. That is a little bit scary, but you know what? The Packers got the job done last week with basically the same situation. Jarrett Boykin stepped up big time. Boy, but I mean, how big was that? When Jarrett Boykin entered the game against the Ravens, he just looked, you know, it didn't look like he had that rapport with Aaron Rodgers. They had several missed connections there, and I was just like, oh my goodness, what, you know, is anybody but Jordy Nelson going to make a play? But then for Jarrett Boykin to bounce back last week against the Browns, 8 receptions, over 100 yards, gets in the end zone. That was so huge, and it makes you realize this whole draft and develop philosophy the Packers have got going on is pretty well. You realize that, well, maybe the Aaron Rodgers to Jarrett Boykin connection in that game against the Ravens was kind of off, just maybe by happenstance. But then you realize, you know, this isn't Jarrett Boykin's first year in the NFL, it's his second. He's had now 2 years to work with Aaron Rodgers, and you kind of saw that rapport come through last week. You kind of realized that, yeah, that, you know, even though he's not a top target, you know, Jarrett Boykin knows this offense by now, 2 years in, and now he's getting his opportunity and made the most of it, made the most of it. So I think it'll be much the same this week in terms of, you know, obviously Jordy Nelson will be receiving option 1A. But Jarrett Boykin can play a nice complementary role, but it'll be on the rest of the team to kind of to provide those third and fourth receiving options, you know, whether it's Andrew Quarles or Miles White or Jake Stoneburner or whoever. Hopefully somebody will emerge this week, but, you know, maybe the Packers offense won't have to if they lean on the run game. Packers may have back this week James Starks to kind of complement Eddie Lacy, which is nice. I think in a game like this especially, hopefully James Starks will be ready to go and kind of take some of the pressure off Eddie Lacy. There's no reason in a game like this facing a poor Vikings team that Eddie Lacy should be forced to carry the load. It's going to be nice to take some pressure off him, distribute a few carries evenly throughout the team, even get Jonathan Franklin some work. So, I mean, Eddie Lacy doesn't have to take a pounding this game like he's had to the past few weeks. That's a good thing. I think Packers getting a little bit healthy there, getting James Starks back. I think it'll be really big if they can get linebacker Brad Jones back. But all these guys who have kind of not practiced this week, James Jones, Nick Perry, I'm not too hopeful for them. I wouldn't hold out much hope that James Jones plays this week or Nick Perry plays this week. I hope it's the case they do, and who knows, you know, still 2 more days away from the game here. You know, there's probably, you know, as Mike McCarthy would say, there's 60 hours to go until the game yet, so who knows? Maybe they make a nice little recovery in 60 more hours, but I'm not betting the farm on it. But I do predict a Packers victory this week. Like I said, 35-21, go Pack, go, right? Thanks, everybody, for sticking around here on a Friday morning to watch the show. Thanks to Jeremy Vanderlinden of Titletown Sound Off to join us and talk a little Packers football today. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV all week long for your Packers news needs, and every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. I leave you today with a remix of Take Me by Serbsikin. By the way, I got this track here from Dre Divac on the live blog. Those of you who watch the live show, you know, we got our live blog going on the side of the right-hand side of the screen. Dre Divac's been joining Railbird Central for years. Well, if you don't know Dre Divac, he's a DJ in St. Louis, and he provided me here with a remix of Take Me by Tiesto and Kyler Englund. So here you go, the remix of Take Me by Serbsikin, provided by Dre Divac. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.